Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
It's a showdown over Sallie Mae.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The private equity takeover of Sallie Mae looks to be headed for the courtroom. The two sides reached an agreement back in April for $25 billion, but the buyers have since become a little resistant. They're trying to renegotiate a lower price because borrowing costs have become more expensive. Sallie Mae doesn't care. It wants the original deal done, and now it's filed a lawsuit against the buyers. The message, pay the $25 billion, or if you don't, pony up $900 million in a breakup fee. Stock market finished mixed yesterday in light holiday trading. The Dow was down 22 to 14,043. The S&P lost 5 points. The NASDAQ, though, added 7 to 2,787. Google finishing above $600 for the first time ever. In the UK this morning, the market begins trading higher. Shares in the troubled mortgage lender Northern Rock are up. The British government will now guarantee all deposits for Northern Rock clients until the financial markets settle down. Eurozone finance ministers meeting in Luxembourg today are split about what to do about their muscle-bound currency. The euro's strength against the dollar and the yen is hurting Europe's economies because European exports are now more expensive. The ministers also agreed China needs to act regarding its currency, the yuan. The message to Beijing, beef it up. Kyle James reports from Berlin.
The U.S. has been urging China for some time now to pump up its weakling of a currency. But the EU has been fairly quiet until now. Last night, Eurozone finance ministers said it's time for China to allow an undervalued yuan to appreciate against the euro. A weak yuan makes Chinese exports cheaper, and trade imbalances between Europe and China have grown to record levels. Laura Ambrosino of Morgan Stanley thinks Beijing might be receptive to the message, but says Europe shouldn't expect Chinese officials to jump.
It's a very, very slow process. They do know that it's something that they need to do in order to help rebalance growth and actually put a brake on the Chinese economy, which is growing quite strongly. But they do want to do it at their own pace.
The EU plans on sending its top economic officials to Beijing later this year to deliver the currency request in person. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
So far this year, the average hedge fund is up more than 10%. With returns like that, small investors may be tempted to jump into the game. But the SEC may make getting into a hedge fund more difficult. The commission wants to raise the net worth requirements from $1 million to $2.5 million. Comments on this proposal are due today, and some critics are asking, what's wealth got to do with it? Marketplace's Steve Tripoli has more.
The SEC worries that the housing boom and surge in assets created loads of paper millionaires eager for big returns, but not ready to swim with hedge fund sharks. Securities lawyer Ron Geffner says this is the wrong way to guard the gates, however.
What this is doing is they're going to keep out the person who may be sophisticated but just doesn't have a ton of money.
For instance, Geffner says the SEC would shut out a savvy but unrich economist.
They're assuming the barometer for intelligence is wealth. That's the other issue I have with this whole analysis.
Commenters on the SEC's website seem equally unimpressed. One put it this way. Fear, greed, and stupidity are as prevalent among individuals with wealth as many with more meager finances. Another said the new rules would let his 90-year-old grandmother with no investing experience play, but they'd exclude a young Warren Buffett. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
The art world appears alive and well, in spite of the recent credit crunch. Sotheby's completed its 4-day auction of Chinese art in Hong Kong today. Total proceeds will likely top $100 million. Among the rarities sold, Chinese relics from the Qing Dynasty. Kate Woodsum reports.
It took Sotheby's months to track down 34 pieces for a rare collection called Lost Treasures. It included Chinese imperial seals, paintings, sculptures, and calligraphic albums. The relics have been well preserved in private collections around the world, but it took them a while to get there. Back in 1900, British, French, and American troops ripped off a lot of these treasures from the Qing Emperor's collections, and their storied history only adds to their value. Nicholas Chow of Sotheby's says the pieces generated fierce competition among buyers.
We have a lot of interest mainly from mainland Chinese and from Taiwanese as well. Both actually have a strong sense of owning their history.
China's past is full of humiliating attacks by colonial forces that pillaged their prized relics. Because of that, the Sotheby's sale has been a touchy subject for cultural preservationists. They were really worried about the fate of a bronze horse head stolen from an ancient palace in Beijing. It's one of 12 sculptures cast in the form of a Chinese zodiac animal. Only 7 have been recovered. A local casino tycoon saved the horse head from going abroad. He bought it in a private sale before the auction, but that was only after he promised to return it to China. Professor P.K. Cheng is with the Chinese Civilization Center at the City University in Hong Kong. He says not all art collectors are driven by a sense of history.
People are finding ways and opportunities to invest. So it's no longer an appreciation of art, but it's a channel for investment.
Cheng says since China's economy took off 10 years ago, the stock market has seen a buying frenzy, and now local auction houses are too. More than 200 of them have popped up on the mainland, tapping into China's nouveau riche. With no signs of an economic slowdown, China can expect to see its newfound relics whisked into private collections, as they were a century ago. In Hong Kong, I'm Kate Woodsum for Marketplace.
I'm not sure how you say you're fired in Malay, but chances are Mark Burnett knows how. The reality TV impresario may soon be producing an Asian version of The Apprentice. Burnett has formed a 50-50 joint venture with a gaming group in Singapore to produce game shows and reality TV in Asia. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.